Kaviraj Goswami is continuing to gloss the last verse of the Shikshashtaka. Ashashyava padratam panastuma madarshanan marmahatam kurotuva yata tata va vidatatu lampato mat prananatas tu sevanapara. The devotee is happy when Krishna is happy. The materialistic person, if he has some sense of God consciousness, has the idea that God is the one who can make him happy. And that's his goal. We can say he's a devotee or materialistic devotee, not a pure devotee. His idea is that God is meant, well, Prabhupada put it strongly, that they want to make God their order supplier. They'll come to the temple or the church with their requisition list and present it before the Lord. My dear Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this, I want this. As if God were Father Christmas. That's their approach. Their standard of God's greatness is that the more God makes them happy, the greater God is. There's even, now there's a prosperity gospel. You can find the prosperity gospel preachers whose message is that God doesn't want you to be poor. So if you pray to God and have a positive attitude, you'll get cash. And that's their idea of holiness. That's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's standard. That's not his mood to get something from God. Ohaituki toi. Bhavatad bhaktir ohaituki toi. No motive. That's condemned in Bhagavatam as Kaitava Dharma. Dharmartha kama moksha. My dear Lord, give me some, let me follow religious principles so that I can get my economic needs met, so that I can enjoy sense gratification. And when I'm frustrated with sense gratification, please give me liberation. Let me merge with you. That's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood at all. The mood is extraordinary. Not only do I not want these things, but what I want is whatever will make you happy. Even if your happiness causes my unhappiness. If making me unhappy makes you happy, all right, then that's happy for me. The materialist, he wants sense gratification from God. And when God doesn't fulfill his demands, he's bitter. He's disappointed. He's let down. He's bitter. What kind of God is this who just tortures us? He doesn't accept he's being tortured for his own misdeeds. It's God's fault. You know, like the prisoners, typically in the prisons, the prisoners are complaining because the government is unfair. The government is unfair. Not I robbed the bank, but the government doesn't play by the rules. The government is, you know, caught me by unfair means. There's one of the most famous mobsters of all time in America is a gentleman named Al Capone, who ran all sorts of illegal rackets in the city of Chicago, bootlegged liquor during Prohibition, and you know, so many different things. And those were the days when people would wind up in the river with cement feet for having crossed the mob. Yeah, so really wicked things: gambling, meat eating, illicit sex, prostitution, intoxication. So finally, the government caught him on some tax charge and put him in prison. And he was interviewed, and he was bitter that why was he in prison? All he ever tried to do was give the people of Chicago a good time. He was a good guy. And it was the government that was just didn't understand, didn't get it. Here I was just trying to give the people of Chicago a good time, and the government is chasing me down. The conditioned souls have a similar mentality. If there's God, then why is there this? If there's God, why is there that? Is it God or is it you? You know, if the government is so good, why are there prisons? Because of you, Baba, not because of the government. You act in such a way as to break the laws of God. You act in such a way as to misuse the human form of life. You turn away from God, your relationship with God. You step outside of your constitutional position into an unconstitutional one and try to be something you're not. And then you complain that God is nasty, or God is, what kind of God? God is perverse. What kind of God is this who does that? Or you say there must be no God. We blame anyone but ourselves. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is the opposite. He accepts that I'm your servant, and I've fallen into this material world by forgetting you. Somehow or other, I've forgotten you, and therefore I've fallen into this material world. Not because you're perverse, because I forgot you. Therefore, I'm suffering in this ocean of birth and death. In the modern age, anything that happens to us, we sue somebody. Especially in America, Britain's a little more civilized. But in America, you know, if anything happens, it's somebody's fault. If you slip on the pavement, then it's the city's fault, because the pavement should have been had a stronger grip to it. If you there was some case, there was an automobile accident, and the helicopter rushed in and rescued the victims, brought them to the nearest hospital. That hospital couldn't help the guys, so they immediately rushed him to the second hospital. The guy died, I think, and then the family sued the helicopter company for bringing him to the wrong hospital. And so everything's somebody's fault. The blame has to be fixed somewhere else. And so finally, everything's God's fault. But no. The laws of nature are there. We follow Krishna's direction. Krishna says, perform sacrifice, be happy. I'm providing everything. Tena chak tena punjita, take as much as your quota allows. Ma agradha kashyas vidhanam, don't take more. Well, a little more. Only a few $1 billion more. And then we're bitter. Why is there suffering in the world? If somebody gets away with it, some billion-dollar, billion-pound scheme, And we say, oh, there must be no God because he got away with it. And if someone's suffering for no apparent cause, we say this person's suffering for no reason. And it doesn't dawn on us that he's the guy who in his previous life stole those billions of dollars from all those innocent people, and now he's suffering. We don't see the whole picture. We see our little corner of the picture and we say, oh, it's so unfair. There must be no God. Or God, what kind of God is this who would be so perverse, so vicious? So we bring it upon ourselves. And the materialistic person, because of his impious activities, everything's God's fault or there's no God. And the devotee, because of his devotional service, sees that everything is Krishna's mercy. That whatever comes, that's Krishna's mercy. Ranchura Prabhu was telling me that he met a very senior devotee from Britain, Vijitravirya Prabhu, who's got, is it cancer? Some very serious disease. And he's paralyzed up to his neck. And Ranchura, you know, went to meet him after many years and sort of didn't know, you know, could be what it would be like, what his mood would be. But he said that Vijitravirya Prabhu was just, you know, grateful to Krishna for all the blessings that Krishna had given to him. Just completely accepting that, yeah, actually, whatever Krishna does is for my good. Whatever Krishna does is for my good. It would be very possible under such circumstances. You know, what kind? You know, I served Krishna for so many years, and I did this, and I did that. And why? You know, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And what kind of happiness is this? Entirely. You can envision under the circumstances how a person would have that sort of mentality. No, grateful. Krishna is very kind. Everything's for my benefit, my good. That's the difference between a devotee and non-devotee. There's one disciple of Radhanath Maharaj who I met before he passed away, a young fellow, newly married. His wife had just given birth to a baby girl. And he found out all of a sudden that he had cancer of the spine, I think it was. And, you know, like 6 months to live, a few months to live. And within a short while, he was practically completely paralyzed, confined to his bed. And I happened to be visiting Bhaktivedanta Hospital, so I went and saw him. And he was completely surrendered to whatever Krishna had done. No anxiety for what would happen in the future. Grateful to Krishna and his spiritual master for, again, the blessings he'd received, and genuinely blissful. I mean, you could tell when a person is like trying to be blissful, right? We've seen that. Genuinely absorbed in Krishna consciousness and happy. This is the effect of genuine Krishna consciousness. When a person is genuinely Krishna conscious, yasmin stito na dukkena gurunapi vichalyate yam labdva chapram labha manyate nadikam tataha Yasmin stato nadukkena gurunapi vichalyate. In the Bhagavad Gita it said that by Krishna consciousness, one perceives the presence of Krishna through his transcendental senses. Anyway, that's close enough. He perceives Krishna through transcendental senses. Yam labdva, having achieved that stage of Krishna consciousness, cha aparam labha manyate na adhikam tata. He thinks, there's nothing better than this. There's nothing better than this. Not that, well, I'll make do with this unless someone makes me a better offer. Haridas Thakur. The prostitute came, young, beautiful. I can't live without you. You're so young. You're so handsome. You're such a great devotee. I'm burning up. Please be merciful to me. No, there's no higher happiness than chanting Hare Krishna. Not, here's the opportunity that I never got. There's nothing better than chanting Hare Krishna. You know, old bag of bones prostitute, forget it. Nothing is better than this. Yasmin stato, situated in this consciousness, nadukena gurunapi vichalyate. Even the heaviest distress, guru means heavy, even the heaviest distress doesn't move him. He's not deviated, not set off track by any distress, however heavy. No, I'll serve Krishna. If Krishna gives me some distress, then that's Krishna's business, all right. There's some good purpose there. And then there are others, Prabhupada mentions here. Their idea is to enjoy themselves. And Krishna's an instrument for their enjoyment. Certainly the very materialistic devotees who are praying to Krishna for material things. And again, the Prakriti Sahajas who have the idea that they can enjoy sense gratification with Krishna. That's their idea. Their idea is not, let me serve however I may serve. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stitadhuli sadrisham vichintaya. Tavapada pankaja stitadhuli sadrisham vichintaya. Let me be a speck of dust at your lotus feet. Just let me serve you. And the Prakriti Sahajas, just let me be one of the gopis in Vrindavan, and embrace me and kiss me and blah, 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 blah. Because their idea is that it's sense gratification, finally. That Krishna will give me sense gratification. That's not the path chalked out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the Goswamis. It's not for our sense gratification. It's not that, that's not devotional service. That's trying to make Krishna, again, our order supplier. Not in the gross way that we're going to be, well, not in the gross way that we're going to, I want a new car, I want a new television. But in another gross way, I want you to satisfy my senses in Vrindavan. In the midst of all the gopis, I want you to satisfy my senses. That's not what Vrindavan is about. It's not for the devotees who've achieved the perfection of wishing Krishna to be their order supplier. The perfection of making Krishna their instrument for sense gratification. That's not Goloka Vrindavan. That's our extending our idea of the material world to the spiritual world. I've failed to get sense gratification here. Let me get sense gratification there. But that's not pure devotional service. The goal is not sense gratification. The goal is Krishna's sense gratification, not my sense gratification. What is that? Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Tare Premana. Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Balikam. Yeah. To satisfy one's own senses is called kam, lust. And to satisfy Krishna's senses is called love. Krishnendriya Priti Vancha. To want to satisfy Krishna's senses, not to want to satisfy my own senses. So that's the qualification of all the Brajbasis, the cowherd boys, the Nanda Yashoda, the gopis, Srimati Radha, everybody. Their goal is to please the senses of Krishna. Not that my senses should be pleased. The idea is there of some of heaven. The heaven is the place where your sense gratification will be achieved. No. That may be heaven. That's in the material world. But the spiritual world is the place where everyone wants to serve Krishna and please his senses. And my senses may or may not be pleased. Krishna, if my senses are pleased, that's all right. If they're not pleased, that's all right. Rather, if as long as Krishna's senses are pleased, I'm pleased. And that's pure devotional service. Let's see. Can read a little more.
Jai Narire Vanche Krishna Tar Rupe Satrishna. Tare na pa hoy dukhi, mui tar pai pori, la jam hate tori, krida karana tare karun sukhi.
If Krishna, attracted by the beauty of some other woman, wants to enjoy with her but is unhappy because he cannot get her, I fall down at her feet, catch her hand, and bring her to Krishna, to engage her for his happiness.
Kanta Krishne Kore Rosh, Krishna Pai Santosh, Shukha Pai Tanada Parchane, Yata Yogya Kore Man, Krishna Tate Shukapan, Chare Man Opa Shatane.
When a beloved gopi shows symptoms of anger toward Krishna, Krishna is very satisfied. Indeed, he's pleased when chastised by such a gopi. She shows her pride suitably, and Krishna enjoys that attitude. Then she gives up her pride with a little endeavor.
She nari jie kene Krishna marma vyata jane tabu Krishna kore gara rosh nijashuke manikaj paduka tar shirebaj Krishna matra chahiye santosh.
Why does a woman continue to live who knows that Krishna's heart is unhappy, but who still shows her deep anger toward him? She is interested in her own happiness. I condemn such a woman to be struck on the head with a thunderbolt, for we simply want the happiness of Krishna. Purport. A devotee who is satisfied only with his own sense gratification certainly falls down from the service of Krishna. Being attracted by material happiness, he later joins the Prakrita Sahajyas, who are considered to be non-devotees. Prakrita means a cheap materialistic devotee. Jai Gopi Mora Kore Dveshe Krishner Kore Santoshe Krishna Jare Kore Abhilash Mui Tar Kore Jan Tare Sevon Dasiha Tabe Mor Shukher Ulas. If a gopi envious of me satisfies Krishna, and Krishna desires her, I shall not hesitate to go to her house and become her maidservant, for then my happiness will be awakened. Pushti Vipriar Ramani Pativrata Shiromani Pati Lagi Koila Veshyar Sheva Stambila Suryer Gati Jiaila Mritapati Tushta Koila Mukya Tindeva. The wife of a Brahmin suffering from leprosy manifested herself as the topmost of all chaste women by serving a prostitute to satisfy her husband. She thus stopped the movement of the sun, brought her dead husband back to life, and satisfied the three principal demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar. Purport. The Aditya Puran, Markandeya Puran, and Padma Puran tells about a Brahmana who is suffering from leprosy but had a very chaste and faithful wife. He desired to enjoy the company of a prostitute, and therefore his wife went to her and became her maidservant, just to draw her attention for his service. When the prostitute agreed to associate with him, the wife brought her leprotic husband. When that leper, the sinful son of a Brahmin, saw the chastity of his wife, he finally abandoned his sinful intentions. While coming home, however, he touched the body of Markandeya Rishi, who thus cursed him to die at sunrise. Because of her chastity, the woman was very powerful. Therefore, when she heard about the curse, she vowed to stop the sunrise. Because of her strong determination to serve her husband, the three deities, namely Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, were very happy, and they gave her the benediction that her husband would be cured and brought back to life. This example is given herein to emphasize that a devotee should engage himself exclusively for the satisfaction of Krishna, without personal motives. That will make his life successful. Any questions? Mm-hmm.